It's Sunday, May 18th, 2008.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Danisjold.
Well, I am Ragnar Danisjold, and you have once again stumbled upon The Pirates Week, a podcast serving the shortwave pirate radio community. Hey, and you know what that short, almost live intro means. It means we have a jam-packed show. We have several pirates in the news stories this week. We're going to go through relevant forum posts on the internet, including the Free Radio Network and note stations logged per the Free Radio Weekly. We have several off-air recordings this week, including a first-time rare catch for me. The voice of the angry bastard should be very interesting to hear. The propagation forecast from This Week in Amateur Radio. A couple tech tips this week, one on feeding folded dipoles and the others on a vertical dipole. And some closing thoughts from me. So stay tuned. We're going to have one very jam-packed show.
Pirates in the news.
Well, as I said in the beginning, we have a bunch of news stories. So let's start off this one with Glenn Hauser's World of Radio, a very brief mention of some action on the Russian pirate shortwave bands.
In Australian DX News, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports hearing an unidentified station in Russian on 6660. April 18th. In lower sideband until 1932 and then switching to upper with religious programs in Russian, but not parallel to WYFR or TWR. According to Manu Ritala and WRTH and Russian sources from the OpenDX forum, this frequency, 6660, is one of the beloved pirate frequencies for former Soviet operators.
Well, switching over to print media now, we have several stories. First one up, there's a pirate out there, and it's on 103.5 FM radio. From the Desert Sun of Palm Springs, California, comes a report that a station has been gaining an audience thanks to a bunch of small black and white pirate radio signs that have popped up in the Coachella Valley neighborhoods. The male radio jock called his show Breakfast with the Beatles on Friday and played a steady stream of vintage and contemporary hits. He called it Cool FM and at one point seemed to taunt listeners with the words, "Hey, try to find us." Other reports have identified the station as Cool FM and has been taunting a local radio station, KAJR FM, also known as Jack FM. Links to the story and with the rest of the stories will be in the show notes, piratesweek.info. Continuing on, from several sources, including the Express and Star.com, comes a story of two young men in the UK that have stood trial after a bust of last fall's Chris FM, that station on 95.3 FM. They were accused of supplying music for a pirate radio station. They were described as not being in charge of the station, just as foot soldiers of the operation. They were both fined £1,000 and £1,200, respectively. And in the Wired News, there is now a very extensive wiki section on how to set up your own pirate radio station. Kind of an interesting read. Some people may want to check it out. Several pages there, and you may want to contribute. It is a wiki, and that's on the Wired News website.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Heading on over to the FRN, www.frn.net/vines. Over on the Pirate Shortwave section, there's just a bunch of people posting pics that are so much better than mine in What Radio Are You Using threads, so we'll just mosey on along down to the workshop forum. Lex asks about several tweaks in Audacity, the free audio manipulation program for Windows. Nothing 40 supplies a cool set of drivers softwares for a bunch of sound cards. There are a lot of EQ, filtering, etc. modules you can use and wire into your audio chain. It basically lets you rewire your sound card. And just as a note, this podcast is put together with Audacity. I don't use any of the feature there, Lex, but I just find it easy to record with and arrange all the separate audio clips for the show. And I do find the envelope tool really useful for the background music fade-ins and fade-outs. That's the Audacity music program. Heading on over to the Ops Exchange, Cracker posts a warning not to use Yahoo Mail, as it is easily traceable back to your home IP, and you should be using Gmail. Well, Northwoods Radio replies that if the POP3 mail forwarding is enabled in Gmail, that Gmail is also traceable. And as a side note, I have found that there is programs like the Tor Network, that's T-O-R, Tor Network, that will mask your IP for web surfing and internet mail like Yahoo, that makes it pretty much completely untraceable, but it is a bit cumbersome to use and it does slow down your internet connection quite a bit. And from the Free Radio Weekly, number 640, May 10th, 2008, covering free radioactivity from May 11th to the 17th, stations being heard on air include Radio Appalachia, Channel Z, KBLU, MAC Radio, Maple Leaf Radio, The Crystal Ship, The Voice of the Angry Bastard, WBNY, and Wolverine Radio. QSLs being received this last week include the stations of Radio Azteca, with a full data yellow QSL number 803 signed by Bram Stoker himself and with the official seal. WLS got one from Radio Appalachia, QSL number 1. Hey, congratulations there, WLS, with the number 1 QSL. And Odd DXer also received a full data QSL from WTCR in 18 days. Hey, and just a real quick look over to the FRN. Zane Radio just posted up his QSL from Azteca Radio, Radio Azteca. He actually posted the pic of it. Very cool looking yellow QSL from Radio Azteca. Sure, we can confirm that Zane Radio from Illinois heard us on 6925 kilohertz 31008 UTC via AARS QSL number 802 signed Bram Stoker. Very cool. Take a look at that over on the Free Radio Network.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, with that, it's time now to take a listen to some off-air recordings from this last week. Before we do that, let's just click on the radio, see if anybody's on air. I have the radio set to 6925. No, nothing but static. But we do have a bunch of off-air recordings for you this week. Actually, I was going to start off with something really cool, but after listening to it, I don't think it's going to turn out that well unless you're wearing headphones listening to the podcast. It was from Dr. Tim's website. He's over in Germany, I believe, and he caught Maple Leaf Radio on the 13th of May, 2008. And, hey, that's really cool. And he actually uploaded some of the audio from that, but it's really staticky and it's way down in the noise. So I'm not going to share it with you on the podcast. I will link to it if you want to hear it. But it's very cool that making the jump over there to continental Europe. Dr. Tim also mentioned earlier in the week he was hearing Jamba Radio International. Very cool. Okay, continuing on. Wolverine Radio, 6925 Upper Sideband, the 15th of May. Caught this around just after the midnight UTC, SINPO 43434. Very good signal playing. Hey, hey, goodbye, strange love, do you realize, into the mystic. A very strong signal with a slight AM hum of a second station playing some techno music back in the background. You can hear the AM hum in this recording. Got a feeling I know who that was, but I didn't get the ID, so I won't share. Take a listen to Wolverine Radio.
Radio. We were born before the wind, a little younger than the sun.
Next up, Channel Z, 6925 AM, the 13th of May, around 0035, SINPO 35433. Just caught the ID right at sign off. Take a listen to Channel Z. Well, this next one is very cool, and actually the second time I heard him, and I believe the first time I was able to hear him clear enough to get a recording. This is just a 30-second recording of Voice of the Angry Bastard, 6925.3 AM, playing on the 17th, 2258. Not a very good signal, SINPO 25222. This was just as I stumbled across him, and I was still tuning him in the very, very beginning of this recording. The ID actually is in upper sideband, and then I switched over to AM. Unfortunately, he faded out quickly right after this recording was taken from, but you can hear the Voice of the Angry Bastard by Pigmeat Martin at the mic right afterwards. It's a little clearer in AM, but this was just as I stumbled across Voice of the Angry Bastard. Next up, Captain Morgan, 6924.7, upper sideband, the 17th, 2052 to 2125, SINPO 45333. And actually, his signal is typically a little drifty, but this time he was right rock solid, 6924.7. This is Captain Morgan.
I'd like to laugh at it. Who hasn't get up and do my thing? Captain Morgan, can you in the pirate zone? This is Captain Morgan, can you in the pirate zone?
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. Take your time with that, children. What's that kind of everybody look what's going on?
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
Well, let's do a quick check of the propagation forecast from this week in amateur radio.
We've had another week with no sunspots. Our reporting week for this newscast runs from Thursday through Wednesday, and this is the fifth bulletin of the year reporting zero sunspots for the week. Geomagnetic indices were quiet, but next Tuesday, May 20th, should be quite active. The predicted planetary A index for May 16 through 22 is 5, 5, 5, 12, 30, 15, and 8. Geophysical Institute Prague expects quiet conditions May 16 through 18, quiet to unsettled May 19, active geomagnetic conditions May 20th, unsettled May 21st, and quiet to unsettled May 22nd.
Well, how about some other radio news? Actually, this week I have one science story for you, a website to check out, and two tech tips. So let's get into it. First up, a science story, so to speak. Well, you've heard of resistors, and you know about capacitors, and even the transistor, but do you know of the memristor? That's right, the memristor was discovered just this last week. It's kind of a resistor with memory. Take a listen to this. From the SDR News at /.reviewnews comes a story of a new electronic component.
HP's memristor is denser storage than a hard drive, is fast as RAM, and maintains its state without power. Hewlett-Packard's announced a new electrical component born out of theoretical physics. It's a nanoscale component called a memristor. It requires no power to retain data, which it can store more densely than a hard drive and access about as fast as a computer's RAM memory. That potentially allows it to replace both components in the future. Memristors can function in either a digital mode, in which a memory cell is either on or off, or in an analog mode, where each cell holds some value in between. The values grow every time the cell receives an electrical signal, and that mimics the way neurons in the brain build stronger memories and connections the more they're stimulated. First applications will probably be for cache. Hard drive could load key data, like the instructions to start up Windows, into the memristor cache, and the memristor cache could dump it into DRAM far faster than transferring it straight from the hard drive. That would result in lightning-fast boot-ups and quick opening of large files. Like the Higgs boson God particle, the memristor made perfect sense on paper since the early 1970s, but no one had ever seen one. Not since the late 1990s, researchers at HP Labs studying the electrical properties of different nanotech materials found several that looked pretty similar to the hypothetical memristor. Suspecting that it, in fact, was real, HP researchers set out to invent one. They're tiny, about 15 nanometers across. That allows them to store data about as densely as a hard drive, 100 gigabits per square centimeter. HP thinks they can get them far smaller, down to 4 or even 2 nanometers. Even at 4 nanometers, a square centimeter of memristor can hold 1 terabit.
Okay, how about a website to check out? Check out the Cathode Corner. This may be some interesting diversion for you. That's the Cathode Corner. Link, of course, will be in the show notes. PiratesWeek.info. If you kind of like tubes and you like building stuff with tubes, not so much radio, but you can do some electronic clocks and some really interesting things. There's even a digital wristwatch with tubes. Very cool. Okay, I do have two tech tips for you this week. And first up is, how do you feed a folded dipole? Do you use 300-ohm twin lead or 450-ohm window line? To find out, let's take a listen to This Week in Amateur Radio.
This week, the ARRL's very own doctor, author of the popular QST column The Doctor Is In, answers a question from his mailbag. Mel Snyder, K8MIW of West Olive, Michigan, asks, I have a question about feeding a folded dipole, spaced about 5 inches between the wires. What would be the difference between feeding it with the usual 300-ohm twin lead and using the popular 450-ohm window line as a feed line? I operate mostly on 75 meters. Years ago, I used a folded dipole and found it to be an effective and wideband antenna. I have heavy-duty window line on hand, but would like to buy the twin lead, and the only line I can find is the light-duty line. Would the mismatch with the 450-ohm line cause any problems? So our doctor answers, the most significant difference would be the level of mismatch at the transmitter end. If you're using an antenna tuner, I doubt that you'll notice any difference at all. There will actually be slightly less loss with the 450-ohm line. If the antenna is about a quarter wavelength high, the actual impedance will be closer to 200 ohms than to the free space value of 300 ohms. With 300-ohm line, that results in a 1.5 to 1 SWR at resonance, or 2 to 1 with 400-ohm line. I'd go ahead and use the window line. It should be less bothered by rain and will probably last longer. If your tuner has a problem at any frequency you operate at, try changing the feed line by 20 feet or so and see what happens. You are likely to find a length that works across the band. Just don't roll up any excess. In my cellar shack, I usually put the excess window line between the overhead floor joists, away from the other wires and secured with standoff insulators. That should be a great antenna. You may even be able to tune it on other bands, if you have a wide-range tuner, that is, especially on 30 meters. On that band, the window line will make even more of an improvement.
And our second tech tip of the week comes from Arnie Coro's DXers Unlimited. This week he was describing his design for a 20-meter vertical dipole.
It's answering a question sent in by listeners from New Zealand, Sulu Lima Land, Australia, VK Land, Japan, JA, and other J, beginning with J prefix, India, Victor Uniform, and Canada. Also has several prefixes, including BE and BA. They all want to know more about the very short vertical dipole antenna for the 20-meter band that was recently described by yours truly, as well as this antenna, how it can be installed in order to be able to enjoy high-frequency operation. See, this is a vertical dipole, a short vertical dipole. Listener Harold from Melbourne, Australia, tells me in his mail, for the past 3 years, he has only operated on the 2 meter band because, he said, there's no space at his QTH to install a high-frequency antenna, something that seems to be a very common problem among apartment dwellers. My perception is that more information must be made available on amateur radio publications about easy-to-make homebrew magnetic loop antennas, because they are even easier to install and use less space than even my ultra-compact vertically helically wound dipoles. Well, let me, anyway, answer the question about the way that this 20, 17, or 15 meters band compact antenna was designed. At the present phase of the solar cycle, your best option would be to build the 20-meter band version of the antenna, as this is the band most likely to be open for the X during the next few months, during the local daylight hours, and sometimes during the summer, sometime after local sunset. Of the new KK-COM-4 antenna is the use of a large diameter radiating element. In this case, it is made of 50 or 75 millimeters diameter tubing. The optimum choice would be copper tubing, although you may use aluminum that is a lot lighter in weight. The two loading coils are wound using number 8 copper wire, and if possible, the coil forms should be made of Teflon for minimizing losses. But the prototype, -4, uses PVC, white PVC pipe sections of the type used for high water pressure, that fit perfectly into the copper tubes that form the two legs of the dipole. The capacity end hats are made of copper plate in my prototype for the powerful reason I happen to have them available. But you can make yours using aluminum, and the antenna performance will be exactly the same. In my latest design, the 20-meter band vertical dipole lower element is kept at a distance of 2 meters from the rooftop, and the coaxial cable feed line coming out of the center of the antenna extends away from the dipole, and this is very important, at a 90 degrees angle for a distance of 5 horizontal meters in order to avoid distortion of the vertical antenna's radiation pattern. And this is a medium to low angle radiator, and despite the fact that it is only 4 meters overall length, its performance and bandwidth are excellent when compared with a full-size 10 meters long half-wave vertical dipole. Tuning this antenna to resonance to the desired operating frequency, the desired segment of the 20-meter band, took some time. I had to play with the loading coils until the antenna resonated at 14.15 megahertz, giving me the opportunity to work CW, the digital modes, and single sideband mode between 14.0 and 14.350. That is all across the 20 meters band with a reasonable standing wave ratio. And last but not least, amigos, the compact, vertically loaded dipole has a very nice look. Aesthetically, it's a nice looking antenna. So nice, in fact, that several neighbors have asked if I am now also into the modern abstract art and sculpturing. Now, you want to know more about these compact, low-profile, very small-footprint antenna that don't require the use of ground radios, something that makes possible installing the antenna in very tight quarters, just drop me an email to info@rhc.com.au or via airmail, send a postcard to Anipolo, Radio Havana, Cuba, Havana, Cuba.
And you can download the entire show from rfprograms.com. And hey, a shout out to RC for supplying the recordings to DX Unlimited. Very cool of him. Hey, how many times can I say very cool in a single podcast? Boy, if you were drinking every time you heard me say that, I hope you're not driving listening to this. Well, in closing, hey, well, I've been reading the FRN thread on what radios are you using. We mentioned it earlier in the podcast. I've been looking at some of the setups people have been uploading their photos, and I have almost started a new thread. Maybe I will later today, but there is some really nice hardware on there. Not just receivers, but filters and noise cancelers and some stuff I'm really not sure what it is. So my question to everybody is, other than your receiver and your antenna, I mean, that's kind of a given, what's the next best thing in your shack? What piece of hardware do you really like? Is it your filter? Is it a DSP? What else other than your, you know, your receiver or your antenna are you really attached to and really couldn't live without? I'd be interested to hear what people have to say on that. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll throw that up on the boards later today. Hey, and did you catch this week's World of Radio? You should listen to it, especially right towards the end. Glenn spoke his mind about Arnie Coro of DXers Unlimited. Ungrateful SOB indeed. Okay, guys, I'm out of here. We're out of time, and it's been a jam-packed show. You probably want to listen twice to catch all the information. Until next week, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do a show next week or not. I'm getting the itch again to take a week off. I don't know. Maybe with the gas prices the way they are, I'll have to stay home and do the podcast. So until next time, gang, hey, as always, thanks for listening.
Boat Anchor Soft Glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web. We meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
Weeks in Audacity, the free audio manipulation.